3.
I'm back in the saddle again. Alfred, a friend is a friend. In Idaho, where yawning canyons greet the sun, as it smiles above the trees in Idaho, to say another night is done. Warm summer winds toss the waving grain, calling me back to my home again, to dream sweet memories of long ago, beyond the hills in Idaho.
Away beyond the hills in Idaho, where yawning canyons greet the sun, as it smiles above the trees in Idaho, to say another night is done.
Warm summer winds toss the waving rain, calling me back to my home again, to dream sweet memories of long ago, beyond the hills in Idaho. Thank you, folks. Many, many thanks, and welcome once again to Melody Ranch. Oh, by the way, if you're new around here, just take your cue from many of the regulars. In that way, you'll soon find out that we don't have any complicated rules or customs. Everybody just sits down and enjoys themselves. Wishing.
Wishing,
wishing, wishing you were in my arms once more. Wishing,
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 wishing you were mine forevermore. I'm sitting by my window, wishing on a star, asking Mr. Moon to tell me where you are. Wishing,
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 wishing all my wishing comes true.
Mr. Artery.
Yeah.
Speaking of a million, could you possibly see your way clear to loan me the loan of $2 till payday?
Oh, no, Buttram. Not again, bud.
Oh.
What do you do with your money anyway?
Well, I'll tell you. The only difference between me and a hen is that we both scratch for a living, but the hen gets hers.
Well, maybe you aren't scratching in the right places, bud.
Oh, it ain't that, believe me.
No?
No, it's just that every time I get to where I'm making both ends meet, Congress moves the middle.
You're telling me? Yeah, I think I know what you mean, bud. But getting back to the $2.
Yeah.
I suppose you've got a new girlfriend.
New one? No, just the same old one painted over. No. You know her. Her name's Gussie Lou Huggins. Yeah, but frankly, just between us, I'm running into a little competition.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
From who?
Well, there's some new fella in town named of Deems Balboa.
Yeah, oh. Deems is trying to beat your time, is he?
Oh, yeah, but I ain't too worried. You see, him and Gussie Lou, they come from different walks of life, you might say.
different walks of life?
Yeah, she's knock-kneed and he's bow-legged, so...
They come from different walks of life. You know, Buttram, you remind me of parsley on a piece of fish.
Huh.
You look good, but nobody wants you.
Yeah, sometimes I think you're right. In fact, it's getting to where all I want to do is just spend these long afternoons by myself, just sitting on a lonely hilltop, just me and my faithful dog.
You and your faithful dog.
That's all, just me and my dog.
Come now, come now. Haven't you ever thought of marriage?
Well, yes, I have, but I don't believe the dog is serious.
Poor Buttram. Everything happens to him.
Yep.
In fact, I was just thinking the other day, when life seems full of clouds and rain,
yeah,
and you're filled with nothing but pain, who soothes your thumping, bumping brain?
Nobody.
And when winter comes with snow and sleet,
ooh,
and you with hunger and cold, cold feet, who says, here's two bits, now go and eat?
Nobody.
When you try hard and scheme and plan to look as good as a man like you can,
yeah,
who says, look at that handsome man?
Nobody.
When all day long things go amiss and you go home to find some bliss, who hands you a sweet, loving, glowing kiss?
Nobody. I never done nothing to nobody.
Are you sure?
And I never got nothing from nobody, no time.
How about finance come?
Until I get something from somebody sometime.
You got your last $2 for me, kid.
I don't intend to do nothing for nobody.
Hey, Buttram, Bond.
Yeah?
Where do you two think you're going?
Who, us?
Yes, you. What are you holding behind your back?
Which hand?
Look, never mind the smart remarks.
All right, all right. If you must know, we each got a pie.
Oh,
yeah,
I see. A pie.
Yeah.
And do you just happen to know what Raindrop would do if she just happened to catch you stealing those pies?
Don't worry, she ain't gonna find out. We're much too slick for her.
Oh, so you think you're too smart to get caught, huh?
We not only think we are, we know we are.
You know, it's a funny thing, just what you said. Because I just happened to be thinking about a similar incident that took place around here not too long ago. And it concerns a guy who had the same idea that you two have.
You mean about stealing pies?
No, but he did think he was too smart to get caught.
Well, don't just keep us standing here in suspenders. What happened?
Well, Pat, as I remember it now, this story all began one morning a little over 5 years ago while I was riding into town to pick up the weekly mail. At any rate, as was my custom, I was just cutting across the Carson Ranch down the road when I heard somebody calling me.
Gene! Oh, Gene, can you stop a minute?
Sure thing, Miss Betty. Oh, oh, champ. Oh, boy. Hi there.
Hi, Gene.
How's my favorite gal?
Not so good, I'm afraid.
Oh? How come?
Well, early this morning, I found 6 more head of our cattle dead up on the North Range.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry to hear that, Miss Betty. Does your Uncle Dan know about it?
No, not yet. But since his accident 2 years ago, as you know, he hasn't been able to even move out of that wheelchair. And, well, I just hate to give him anything else to worry about.
I don't blame you. Look, I've got an idea.
Oh?
Why don't the two of us take a quick ride over and check on those dead steers? Maybe together we can find out something that'll give us a little more to go on. Tell me, when did you first find these steers, Miss Betty?
Early this morning, Jean. I was riding over to Talbot's to pick up a couple of new books for Uncle Dan. Why?
I was just wondering. They haven't been dead very long.
How can you tell?
Well, first answer me a question. How close is your nearest water hole from here?
Oh, a little over a mile, I'd say.
You sure?
I'm positive. Why do you ask?
Because look at this steer's jaw. Notice how it's all swollen and puffed up?
Oh, but, Jean, couldn't that have happened, well, just because the animal died?
I doubt it. In fact, I doubt it very much. No, Miss Betty, my guess is right. These cattle have been poisoned.
But, Jean, I still can't understand it. Betty and me don't have an enemy in the world. Why would anyone want to poison our stock?
Beats me, Dan. I've checked the cattle's mash, every water hole on your layout, and without finding one trace of any poison anywhere.
Well, that's not the worst of it, though. Well, I don't know whether you know it or not, Jean, but Uncle Dan and I had to borrow nearly $5,000 on this place last year. The bank in town took back a first mortgage, and, well...
What Betty's trying to say, Jean, is this. The note's due and payable at 10th of next month, and... We was counting on the sale of those steers to meet that note.
I see.
If I could only get out of this dad-blamed wheelchair.
Oh, it's not your fault, Uncle Dan.
Well, that's nice of you to say, child, but I'm afraid it is. You see, when your dad left you this ranch, he left it in your name, but he wanted me to make sure you always made a living off of it. And now it looks like I failed both you and your dad.
Oh, but that's not true, Uncle Dan. Tell him it's not true, Jean.
Of course it's not, Dan. Besides, it seems to me that you're giving up before you're beaten.
Oh, I haven't given up, Jean. I'm just a little discouraged, I guess, that's all.
Well, don't be. And Miss Betty, you see that he gets a smile back on his face. In the meantime, Johnny and me will do some more checking. Then I'll see you both again in the morning. And so, Pat, the next morning early, Johnny and I started out to cover Carson's ranch from one end to the other, looking over every inch of it for some sign of poison. But by 2 o'clock, all we had found was 5 more dead steers. Anyway, late in the afternoon, we had just pulled up, give the horses a little breather, and that's when I saw it. Hey, Johnny.
Yeah.
Come here quick.
What's up? Did you find something?
I'll say I have. Look at this grass.
What about it? It's just plain old dead grass, ain't it?
Look again. The dead grass is right next to those salt blocks that they've got placed around the ranch for the cattle to lick on.
Wait a minute. You trying to tell me that the grass killed the cattle?
No, Johnny. In fact, it's just reverse. The cattle killed the grass.
What?
That's right. You see, certain poisons make cattle sick to their stomachs. And when the cattle get sick, it kills the grass.
Holy jumping jackrabbits. You mean that, baby?
Unless I'm mistaken, Johnny, I mean that somebody's poisoned those salt blocks. First, though, I had to make darn sure of my ground. So I had Johnny hightail it into town with a block of salt, have it analyzed. In the meantime, I did a little analyzing of my own. Analyzing something else I saw there by those patches of dead grass. Anyway, 2 hours later, when Johnny got back from the marshal's laboratory in town, I met him at Melody Ranch, compared notes with him, then headed over to Carson's ranch to have dinner with Miss Betty and Uncle Dan.
And you say, Jean, that those salt blocks were definitely poisoned, huh?
That's right, Dan. According to the marshal's office report, they'd all been sprinkled with arsenic trioxide.
Arsenic? But, Jean, arsenic has a bitter taste. Well, I wouldn't think the cattle would touch it.
Well, that threw me, too, for a while, Miss Betty. But the man who did this was pretty clever. You see, he knew that arsenic, when mixed with trioxide, is tasteless in salt.
I know, Jean, but we still don't know who's doing it.
You don't, Dan. But I'm pretty sure I do.
Ooh.
First, though, I think you both ought to know that somebody is trying to force you to sell this ranch.
What?
So that's why our cattle are being poisoned.
That's right, Miss Betty. Now then, when will you be 21?
Why, next week, the 14th. Tuesday, to be exact.
And after that, everything is legally yours. Your Uncle Dan, as your guardian, has no claim to anything. Is that right?
Well, I suppose that's so, but I...
Miss Betty, I hate to tell you this,
but... I think you've said enough, Autry.
Uncle Dan, you're walking!
Sure I'm walking. I'm walking because your friend Autry here has been doing too much talking. But this little gun I got says that neither one of you will be doing much more.
Well, what does this all mean?
I'm afraid it means just what I'm saying it meant, Miss Betty. Your Uncle Dan was poisoning your cattle, so you'd be forced to sell the ranch.
Yeah, figured things out pretty good, didn't you, Autry?
It didn't take much figuring, Dan.
I suppose you know about the railroad, too.
Not for sure, but I guessed as much.
What about the railroad?
Your Uncle Dan also learned that the main line was putting in a new spur right across your property, Miss Betty. What's more, he probably found out they'd be willing to pay plenty for this land. So, he figured after he had forced you to sell by killing off your cattle, he was going to take the money and leave you high and dry.
But I still don't understand. How are you walking, Uncle Dan? You haven't walked in 2 years.
Yeah, that's what everybody thought. This game leg I've been faking was just part of my plan to pull this little deal off. After all, no one would suspect a helpless cripple of spreading poison around.
You had your plan pretty well worked out, didn't you, Dan? But right now, I've got a few plans of my own.
Drop it, Dan. Drop it, I said.
Okay. Let go. You're breaking my arm.
That's better. All right. Here. Now get up.
What are you going to do to me?
For killing defenseless animals? Believe me, not half as much as I'd like to. As for trying to swindle your niece, well, suppose we leave that up to a judge and a jury. And so you see, boys, there's no such thing as a foolproof crime, whether it's stealing pies or killing cattle.
Well, maybe not, but look, answer me just one small question, will you?
What?
Well, the guy in the wheelchair. Whatever made you suspicious of him in the first place?
A footprint.
A footprint? Where?
A footprint I found out by that salt block. You see, Pat, Dan Carson was no more crippled than you or me, but he wore a brace as a cover-up. It hooked down under his right shoe and left an impression in his footprint.
Now, if that don't just beat all. Well, come on, Johnny, let's hurry over and eat these pies before they get cold.
That's a good idea.
Hey, just a minute. Yes? Something you wanted?
Do you mean to tell me that you two can stand right there and listen to me prove that crime doesn't pay and still go right ahead and steal those pies?
Well, you see, it's like this, Mr. Artery. Johnny and me know that crime don't pay, and you know that crime don't pay, but our stomach wasn't listening to that story.
You know, friends, this great country of ours has much of which we can all be tremendously proud. Its industry, its government, its standard of living, and the resourcefulness of its people. All beacons of hope and inspiration to free-loving people the world over. But another thing of which I'm equally proud is our American music. I'm sure you'll all agree as we sing for you now this beautiful Stephen Foster classic, written nearly 100 years ago.
There's where the
And that looks like
that's just about the last of the gravy in the frying pan for this Smoldy Ranch steak fry. But along about this same time, and over these same radio stations, yours truly and all the gang will be right back again with a brand new batch of the same. And now this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us until we're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed, I'm back in the saddle again.